Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own The Lovett Company.
That's right. We do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh, yes. A relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Hi, friends. So this week's review of the week comes from one of our insiders, Care587. Care says, "The Success in Black and White podcast is such an open, honest, and engaging podcast. April and Daryl tell you like it is and don't pretend that life is perfect and easy. They lean into the grind that yields success and aren't afraid to discuss what it took to get there. Looking forward to more episodes." Thank you, Care587. We appreciate you. If you want your rating and review to be read out loud on our podcast, then make sure you leave one. You can leave one on iTunes, or you can leave one on any of our social medias, and we will read it out loud. Thanks. So we're coming back again this week, and
Hey, everybody. Sorry.
Daryl likes to make fun of me. So this week we're talking about perfectionism and how it's overrated. That's what I have on my title. Why did you give me that funny look?
Perfectionism and how it's overrated. That title is, I don't like it. So y'all hear us saying this, and here is some imperfection stuff right here, because I'm probably going to change the title. It's probably going to say something different.
That's okay. They'll forgive us. I'm fine with that. You guys are about to learn our personalities when it comes to perfectionism and how we operate with that.
Like, we're really going to, like, flow with this, even though there are some parts that I may just want to, like, cut, retake, or edit.
We said we're going to be raw and real.
Yeah, so.
That's our promise to you. That's what we're going to continue to do. So. All right. Let's start with, as we always do, with some life updates. Do you have any life updates?
Life updates. Mm-hmm. For me, I started growing my beard back out.
So that's it looks so good, too.
That's a life update. So one of our kids liked the beard. Anna, she loves the beard. She always is, like, scratching my face and rubbing it. And then Vaughn hates the beard.
Hates it.
So when I try to give him some kisses, he just pushed me away and just like, dude, your face is scratching me up. Come on, bro.
To be fair, it's probably not you, because he does that to everybody when you try to give him kisses.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he does that to me, too, with my beard.
No, y'all, I'm not growing a beard yet.
No. Not happening. Daryl will not go for that. I'm not going to sit back and be like, I see it, but I don't want to say anything to hurt her feelings.
No, he would tell me.
No way. I'm like, hey, you need to go on in there and wax that on up off there.
He would definitely tell me. So those are good life updates. My life update, I feel like life has been pretty normal for us for the past, like, since we've been back from our mini vacay / retreat, and we've just kind of gotten back in the rhythm of things.
Life update, that time change.
That time change.
Oh, my word, is killing us via killing our kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they just don't get it. Like, when it's time to go to bed, we're like, no, it really is time to go to bed. And then when it's time to get up, no, really.
You're going back to bed?
Yeah.
So it's like fall back. When we were younger, we used to love fall back because we got an extra hour. And it would get darker earlier, which is terrible. But that extra hour you could do whatever you wanted to with. And then you have kids, and fallback is terrible because the kids don't know it. And so we're up at 4 a.m. with our son, and we're like, go back to sleep.
Go to sleep.
He's like, no, it's time to party.
Yeah.
So we're partying at 4 a.m. with the baby. But I'm sure if any of you are parents out there, which I'm sure some of you are, you're going to understand exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a big update.
That's a big update.
Definitely. Yeah. A time change.
Yeah. So let's jump into our topic.
Let's go.
Yeah. So I think we want to talk about first this idea of perfectionism and in our personal lives. So let's talk about it from a personal realm.
Okay, we can
so
do that.
So for you, how has perfectionism both helped and or hindered you in your personal life?
That is a great question. And to be honest, perfectionism, it has done both. So it has helped me by teaching me some valuable lessons on how to grow and like how to pursue certain things when you're trying to always reach a certain point. But it also has hindered me as well by holding me back from pursuing certain things because of the conditions or the things that I was trying to pursue were not in a state of perfectionism for me at that time. So it has done both. It has kind of helped and pushed me to pursue things and kind of taught me some life lessons on goal chasing. But it also has hindered me as well because there are some things that I probably should have, you know, taken a chance on and taken a risk. And because the state of what I was chasing or the conditions weren't perfect for me, that I held back and I didn't do it. And when you find yourself holding back, sometimes you can fall into that state and not move at all. So I think it's done both for me. But personally, now I'm more on the side of not chasing perfectionism because I think that the times that it has hindered me has hurt me longevity wise more so than the help that it has done by kind of teaching me some life lessons about pursuit of goals, pursuit of success.
Interesting. I am multifaceted as well, in that there are some things that I'm very particular about, but a lot of things you and I differ a lot because I just want to jump in head first, and that's not how you are. So when that deals with perfectionism, I really think about, well, so I have a really good, just very practical example about how we live our lives at home. So this is like the ongoing, it's like not a fight, but it's like the ongoing like tiff between us is like Daryl will come in and he'll have like a research or something from the store and he puts it on the counter where he needs it to be He knows where it's at because he's going to use it in like the next 2 hours or like maybe a few days later, but he knows exactly where it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Me, I'm like, I like things to look neat. And this has been recently a compromise on my part where I have taken a step back from that a little bit. But for most of my life, I've wanted my house, I wanted everything to kind of look just neat. And so I go behind him, he drops it off, and I'm like, that's not where it goes. So I pick it up and I put it, we have a box labeled receipts, right?
It's going to make it to that receipt box. When it's supposed to make it to that receipt box.
See, here's our difference, too.
Yeah.
So he's, like, still waiting to input it into his spreadsheet or whatever. And I'm like, no, this needs to go. But I don't say that. I just pick it up and put it in the receipt box. And so I think it's funny because in my head, my perception of perfectionism, or not even perfectionism, but just how I operate, is like, I want the house to look neat, however that needs to look. And he's, like, in his head, his perception is, like, well, perfectionism, or that, you know, in that realm to me is like, I want to know where the things are that I put them and how I can find them again. And I'm the only one who knows that because it's my brain, it's where I'm putting them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this ongoing tiff in our house sometimes where, and I've stepped back. I think I've gotten better about it. If you put something down, I'm like, I know he's going to put it where I want it eventually because he knows that drives me crazy.
Right.
So I've stuck back from that, but it is an ongoing tiff in our house. But I think that the way that it relates to perfectionism almost is that people's perceptions of perfectionism are so different.
Right.
Like for me, a clean house or a neat looking house is like, I want my house to look perfect.
kids have changed that.
Oh, though. My gosh. Yeah. Kids have definitely yeah. changed that. I've had to step back. I had to kind of, like, I could spend the entire weekend just cleaning up after everybody. And then it just gets a mess again on Monday.
And Anna and Vaughn comes right behind her. Mm-hmm. And everything that she picked up is right back where it was before.
Absolutely.
Just like my receipt.
Yeah. And then my other example is really funny because this is hard to say that we're like opposite on, but we're very different on. Okay, so my best example is like getting everybody out of the house for whatever event, whether it's in the morning, whether it's for church, whether it's like we're going to somebody's house for dinner, like whatever it is, it's getting out of the house. So my entire life, I have been a time person. And to be on time to me is like equal to holiness. So I hate not being on time. And to me, that could mean sacrificing the way that I look or the way that the kids look or the way that just the details and how we're leaving the house matter. Like, I don't care because I just want to be on time. So if we're all getting out of bed and going somewhere looking a mess, but we're on time, I'm happy. And Daryl's the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So he's like, it makes sense. He has to present well, and our family needs to present well, and we need to have our ducks in a row. Details matter.
Absolutely. So we're not going anywhere looking a mess.
Right.
If we're going to show up, we're going to show up right. And if it's late, we're going to be fashionably late.
Yep.
Not showing up looking raggedy just to be on time or be early. And then when we come back, we're going to have to sit down and discuss and come up with another game plan of how we can maybe shave a couple of minutes off here or there. But we're not yep. going nowhere looking toe up. Not as a family. not under my watch. Nobody. Oh,
it's true. So those Nobody. Have been some very opposite things that we really require perfectionism on. And we'll talk about that in our tips and tricks a little later. Is the compromise, obviously, because you can't be perfect in everything. But it's just funny because we have very opposite perfectionist tendencies.
Yes, I agree.
And I think it's important when we think about that and even how we'll kind of get into how that plays into our business and how we operate together in a second. But I really think it's important for us when we think about why that may be for each other is to really study and examine the way that we both grew up. Because that has such an impact on just the different things that we value. And for me, it's really funny because when we talk about a neat looking house, my parents are both like, I think any of the houses that I've lived in could probably be like model homes all the time. Like, yes, even when they had three kids and we were younger, we were running around. Like, my parents, they had full-time jobs. I don't know how they did this. Three kids, full-time jobs, we're all busy, and they kept the house immaculate.
I know how, but I'll answer that later. You go ahead, and then I'll tell you how. I've observed it.
It's amazing. Daryl's observed it. Oh, and yeah. I'm so proud of them. But that's where that comes from. That is a learned behavior for sure.
Yep. Want me to tell you who you learned it from?
Who did I learn that
dad.
From? My dad. My dad, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Like, sometimes I feel bad. Like, when I'm there, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't want to put this plate in the sink, but I know this is where I normally put it at. So what would he do?
You got to think about what would dad do.
Hey, oh my goodness. Oh, it's like every time that man will clean some more, organize.
That is his strength, yeah, man.
That's where she gets it from. Yeah. I have observed it on many occasions, and I give it to him for that because that is not me.
They're good, though. My parents have both done that, and they've instilled that in us, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but I do know, you know, something that, as Daryl and I were talking, came up recently, and he was like, listen, sometimes I just want you to relax and, like, don't worry. Like, the laundry is still going to be there. Can you just come and, like, spend some time with me on the couch and spend some time with the kids? Like, don't worry about it being perfect. And so that was a gut check for me, like, I need to just chill out a little bit. Like, that stuff will always be there. But my family is important, too. So
yeah, I did have the reminder of that.
Yes, he did. So for you, how has your growing up really contributed to how your perfectionist habits come into play today?
I definitely know that coming from a family as large as mine, and some people have families even larger, but coming from a family the size of mine, I know that when you're talking about perfectionism and you're talking about my dad and his role and his position that he had and the people that we were associated with and that would drop by and that we would have opportunity to engage with and stuff. Like, we always had to make sure that we were presentable. That was at home and that was also not at home. So I know growing up, we all had chores and we all had things that we had to do. And best to believe it got done, because if it didn't, you know, we got spankings growing up. I don't know about all the listeners, but me and my sisters, we got spankings growing up. So it's like, hey, you need to take care of this and get this done. And if you didn't, you got a spanking, and then you still went and got it done. So with a family our size, always making sure that things were in order and in line, and how we represented ourselves was very important, and that was valued in our family, and that was also pushed down on us. And that's the way that I am now about, like you said, when we leave, like, we ain't leave our house tore up. You know what I'm saying? We was Pastor Lovett's family, mm-hmm. and we had to represent Pastor Lovett. And when he was out there in them streets, we was right there behind him looking representative of Pastor Lovett, you know.
Yep.
And that was at home as well. So those are some of those things about how you said, I am about making sure that we represented ourselves well. That's where that came from. And it just kind of stuck. So I definitely know that growing up, that was definitely something that has stuck with me to this day.
Absolutely. How do you think that perfectionism has either helped and or hindered us when we talk about working together in our business or just on our business in general?
So I know that it has hindered us on my part specifically in some cases, because like I said, if we put it out, I want it to be out. I want it to look good. I want it to represent us well. And that's something that I have had to learn from and something that I had to grow in, that you're always going to want to improve and develop and continue to grow and enhance whatever it is that you're doing. So if you wait for it to be perfect and you're working in a state of improvement, you're never going to go anywhere. You're going to be in a state of constant. So for us in the business, I had to really take a step back and work really hard on understanding that put out the best product that represents us well right now where we are. And as we improve and grow, people will be able to see that. And then hopefully, you know, that will let them know that we're not a stagnant business. We're not a stagnant company. What we're offering and what we're putting out is not stagnant, that we're continuing to grow, because what we're helping people do is improve themselves and get better themselves. So they can see that represented in our work and what we're doing, and hopefully it inspires them to work with us, or to at least just kind of go with us along the journey. Mm-hmm. So I know for sure, definitely, that was with the website, that was with marketing material, with graphics. I'm like, this has to look this way in order for it to go out. And another thing that really contributed to that was comparing what we were trying to do and our vision and our plan and our goals with other people and other things that were out there. And it took you actually, you know, telling me that we're unique in our own way. We're never going to look or be exactly like any other people, group, business, company, corporation out there. So we have to do it our way and make sure that what we're putting out is us and it's our way, because we're unique in our own way. So I definitely know that when you're talking about perfectionism, and just basically how I am and how I like to put things out there, was, you talk about gut checks. That was a gut check for me, because I'm like, wow, that makes sense. Like, we are unique in our own way. Our brand is our brand, and what we're doing is us. So it doesn't have to look like what everybody else is putting out there. As long as it reflects us well, then at that time, in that moment, it's right for us. And it's perfect for us.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we haven't been through various iterations of what we do, because we find ways that, not necessarily in comparison to others, but just in comparison to our baseline, our, what we're doing, we found ways to make it better.
Yes.
And I love that, because I still remember when we first started out, our first iteration of the website.
Oh my goodness. I actually still have like a version of it somewhere.
When I think about, and it was, and at the time we're like, this is awesome. Yeah. And it's got like some, I don't know, like
clip art and stuff.
And I'm like, this is amazing. People are going to love it. And now looking back, I'm like,
That was like trash.
Yeah, that was
you
trash.
You can say it. Don't. You're not going to hurt my feelings. It was trash.
It was.
And I can't believe at that time I was actually okay with it.
It's so funny. But you know, that's all we knew. And as we got further into the business and we found, I mean, you really found your design element. And then I started finding my content and design element. And as we came together, we're like, oh, that's actually trash.
Yeah, no, it was straight up trash.
But you know, that's, we never would have even launched, I don't think, if we would have been waiting for the perfect website or for the perfect content to have or for the perfect bios or for the perfect what we were offering. Like, everything is evolving all the time because it has to. And it will still, I mean, I feel like every time we've done something, we look at it and we're like, this is the best it's going to get. And a week later, you're like, hey, I have an improvement. And I'm like, that was like the running joke, as Daryl would say, hey, I have this idea. And I would roll my eyes and be like, really, again? And he would make it better.
Yep.
And so I think I've jumped on the bandwagon is like, okay, there are things we can always make better. And so now I'm always looking for what we can do better, or what we can make better. And that, not necessarily pursuit of perfectionism, but the best versions of what we offer in ourselves to the world.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because my goal now is to always make it better, to always improve. That's our image. That's what we're doing. That's our content. That's our design. And it was a running joke, because I would, I mean, it was almost like,
almost every day.
Yeah, almost every day. And I'm like, but listen, this font right here, if I just made it two sizes bigger and moved it over to the right, tell me from a visual perspective, this doesn't look better. And she'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And accepting it and owning that, like, dang, we ain't gonna never get to the point to where it's just on point to where we don't ever have to touch it again. And if it does, we would become stagnant.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah, so we always have to be looking for improvement.
Always looking for ways to improve, to make it better. And that also comes from feedback from other people too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for definitely sure. Feedback from other people. And then sometimes we get garbage. I'm not going to even consider feedback from other people. People
just
have comments. And I'm like, okay, like, that doesn't align with our mission. So
yeah.
Thank you anyways, but have a wonderful day.
And I think we're more confident in that aspect than we were in the beginning. I remember getting some good feedback from a very trusted friend of yours. And we were like, this makes complete sense, you know, what she's saying. But when we applied it, we figured out probably 6 months later that it really still didn't work for what we were doing.
And right.
Our initial instinct was the right one. And so I think we're more discretionary now, but
yes.
I would caution people, no matter what you're doing, if you're seeking feedback from others on something that you're doing, take it with a grain of salt. Be discretionary about it, because it may help you, and I think you should approach that as it could help you, but examine it and make sure that it isn't aligned with your values and your business or your personal life, you know, whatever it is that you're looking at.
Right. And, you know, speaking on perfectionism and being perfect, I mean, it typically is when you're talking about perfectionism. Good Lord, I can't even say the word right. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, being perfect. Let me take it back to where I'm from, my country self. Being perfect is typically associated with other people and what they think about your thing or your it. And when you're usually trying to appease those other people is when you're chasing their version of perfectionism and not your version of excellence.
Wow.
Which I know we'll talk about later.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like I had that in my head too, to talk about, but that was good. That's what
we need
to do out there.
So that is definitely one of the things that, I know me personally, which I've had a struggle with for a majority of my life, and I'm getting so much better at it now, but just disassociating myself with appeasing and pleasing other people who may have my, you know, best interest at heart, but it just may not be the way that I would go about it, or it may not be what's best for me at that time.
Right.
And to them, it may be what I need to do to be perfect in their eyes.
It's so funny, because it's exactly what we talked about in last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I definitely want to put it out there that when you're talking about perfectionism, it is typically associated with, you know, what other people think or what they'll say about your thing or your it. And you just got to remember that, you know, when you're chasing that, you know, what are you doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
Where are your values? Where is your mission? Yeah. What is your goal?
Absolutely. And we talk about perfectionism in the business, and I think I'm a little more, from my perspective, I'm a little more attuned to it in business than I am in our personal lives, because yeah. that's a major effect for us. But at the same time, I'm still more willing to jump the gun on things than Daryl is. And I think, you know, that challenge of us being open about that and not being offended, like, for instance, if I have something that I create and I'm like, hey, we need to put this out. And he kind of takes a step back and he's like, look at everything we're doing. You are doing too much right now. Like, that is a famous line from yeah, Daryl. Like,
you're doing too much.
Yeah, go sit down somewhere. You're doing too much right now. And there are times where I'm like, it's a challenge for me because I have to approach it from a business perspective. Like, I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. I'm going to be like, am I doing too much right now?
She's telling all the business, y'all.
Oh my goodness.
She done told my famous.
I know, yeah. Your famous line. Your famous one liner.
I'm like, girl, go sit down somewhere. You're doing too much.
That's exactly. He says it to me. He says it to me a lot.
We don't need that right now, but don't throw that away.
Right.
We definitely going to come back around to this like next week. But as of right now, no, I'm not putting that out there. Go sit down somewhere. You're doing too much.
Right. And we have to evaluate that because there are times where I'm like, oh my gosh, he's right. Like, we have way too many other things going on and we just can't do this yet. And then there are some times where I have to remember too, my job to help influence him the way that he helps influence me, in that I know sometimes he's slow to pull the trigger and we need to get something out there to the world, and it doesn't have to be perfect in that format. So I think there's a lot of give and take when we talk about perfectionism in the way that we run our business.
Definitely is. With the give and take, if she says something and I say, go sit down somewhere, you're doing too much, and she comes back and challenges me again, then that usually lets me know that in her mindset, this is something that's a little bit more urgent. And then I take a step back and I reevaluate and look at it and then try to figure out a way of maybe possibly how we can implement it. But if I do say that to her and she doesn't come back, that means that she's taking the time that she needed and analyzed what was going on in that moment and was like, well, right now I probably am doing too much and I'm not going to push him on it. So it is give and take. And if she comes back at me, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, she's adamant about this. To her, this is an urgent matter. Maybe I need to look at it from a different perspective, because we might need to go ahead and put it out here. And no matter if I think it's at a place to where I feel comfortable putting it out or feeling like it will benefit us. And that give and take, you know, it's based around that growth. It's based around what's perfect for us in that moment and how it's going to help us and benefit us and push us forward.
Mm-hmm. I think some people might be wondering how we got to a space in our relationship and working together relationship where we could say these things and understand these things with each other and not get offended or not get feelings hurt. Like, how did we get there to that place?
It wasn't always like that.
No.
So there have been some tears shed. She's laughing over there because I've made her cry plenty of times.
And true.
I would feel bad. Like, I'm like, no, like, don't cry. Like, don't shut down. Like, don't go sit down and stop everything. I'm like, just take it for what it is. I think that obviously those experiences, and I'm not just going to put her business out there like she's just crying all over the place, because me, I'm walking outside and doing what I do when I, you know, have to take a moment and get some fresh air, because I've had my moments as well. But how we got to where we are now, obviously those experiences have definitely helped. But over time, learning how to communicate during those experiences have helped us get to where we are now. So when I could see the emotions start to come from her after a statement or saying something that I said, I would check in and be like, is it what I said or how I said it that, you know, is making you feel emotional? What's going on? Tell me, like, right now, so that we can figure this out and move forward. And then if we were both in a space to where we could have that communication, then she would definitely share with me, well, you know, I just thought that this was very important right now, and I was hoping that you would have agreed with me, and that's why it made me feel the way that I feel. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I didn't see it like that, so let me help you. Let me help you explain that better to where I can understand and perceive what you're trying to say. And then she would come back and she would be like, all right, this is what I was trying to say. And I was like, oh, well, that's not how I took it when you first said it. So I think it was just going through those different experiences, coming up with a game plan of how we're going to communicate during those experiences when either one of us was feeling some type of way. And then to where we are now, where we can pretty much pick up what the other person is throwing down without having to go through that communication phase. So if I'm like, go sit down somewhere, you're doing too much, and then she comes back at me, then I'm like, all right, cool, she's adamant about this, and she's not crying anymore. You know what I mean? I'm like, we good. All right, cool, let's figure this out.
It did take a while to get there. And I will say, I mean, I think you have to, as with any communication, I think you have to be in tune with your emotions. And I don't want to speak just in generalized terms to ladies, but this is true in everything that I've had to think about in any of our communications that may have been misinterpreted. We really don't fight very much, so I can't say fights, but anything that could potentially be misinterpreted, I have to always, and this is just a self-check for anybody, but I always take a step back and try to understand if my emotions are dictating the logical in that situation. And if that's true, then I need to, like he says, go sit down somewhere, deal with my own emotions, and then come back to have a productive conversation. And so that's for us in personal life and business life.
Yeah, definitely. And it took time. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sit here in front and make it seem like we just kind of figured out it all worked out overnight. No, it definitely took time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think let's talk now about some tips and tricks. Stay tuned after a quick word from our sponsors, us. Friends, how many of you declare goals to lose weight, eat healthier, save money, stay more connected to family and friends, go after that dream career, travel to that one place, or whatever else you want to accomplish, only to find yourself falling off the wagon within a few weeks? The number one thing that people get wrong when they set goals for themselves is not declaring their goal in a way where they plan the action steps to succeed. This episode of Success in Black and White, the podcast, is sponsored by our very own Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook. Daryl and I are excited to bring to you this easy-to-use, comprehensive workbook. Even better, friends, for you, it's completely free. We love y'all, and our goal is to inspire as many people to succeed as we can. We want you to be able to not only go for your dreams, but to actually achieve them. This guide will help you establish goals based on your life values, prioritize your goals, write action steps, and make them visual so you're more likely to achieve them. You can get your free copy of the Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook on our website, successinblackandwhite.com/goalcrushers. Okay. So I have two different categories for this. And the first category is, what are the tips or tricks to focus more on excellence and perfection if that is not your strong suit?
So I guess I'll start here. And what initially comes to my mind is the fact that for me in the past, I have always spent so much time trying to capture the perfect moment or set up the perfect situation so that I would have the perfect outcome. And in the process of doing that, I would end up missing out on the overall experience. Mm. So my focus is not so much on the perfect moment, setting up the perfect situation for the perfect outcome, but it's more so on what am I going to take away from this overall experience. So when you talk about that and you talk about tips and tricks, my goal now is to always strive for excellence. And when I say excellence as opposed to perfection, it's doing what's right for us in the moment that we're in. Mm. Because when you're chasing perfectionism, you're usually trying to find, you know, the best thing. Mm-hmm. And it might not be what's best for you. It might be what's best for other people or what other people are perceiving what's best for you. So mm-hmm. when I'm pushing and striving for excellence, it's what's best for us in the place that we're in. So that's the number one tip that I would give is to maybe not focus so much on perfectionism, mm-hmm. but focus on excellence and what's right for you in that moment, in that place and time.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say I have two. Do you have more than?
No, go for it.
I have two. So this coming from a person who perfectionism is sometimes my strong suit and sometimes not. But my two tips for this to focus more on perfectionism or just on excellence overall, I like how you put that, excellence instead of perfectionism, is to A, focus on one thing at a time. I think there's this misconception, and I hear it a lot with moms, or like moms are multitaskers and they're the best multitaskers. And the reality is that, yes, we do have to multitask a lot. But when you are really looking at day in and day out, you're constantly multitasking and you're taking on more than one thing at a time, you're not actually giving your quality to any one thing. And so you're going to be more inclined to do excellent work when you are really working in a space that is just one thing at a time and you're not taking on multiple tasks. The truth is, when we divide our attention between multiple tasks, then our attention gets divided and our excellence gets divided. So that's my number one tip, is to, there's going to be times that we have to multitask and that everybody has to multitask, but you're going to do much better, more excellent work when you're not multitasking and you're focusing down on that one thing.
True. Well, you asked me that, I have another one, and while you were talking,
you had another one. Well, go for it.
It popped up, so I'll get it in. I guess we'll go one for one,
yeah.
Then, and then you'll do your number two,
because
you kind of caught me off guard. You're like, "Do you have two?" Because I have two, and then my like perfectionism like jumped in and was like, "She had expectations of me having two, and I don't have two." But while she was speaking, something did come to my mind that I definitely wanted to share, and that's ignoring the outside noise.
Ooh.
Yeah. So to break that down a little bit more, the naysayers, or the people that's constantly giving feedback and input and comments, but they're not doing anything or giving any suggestions, recommendations, or insight on helping you improve and get better. Like, ignore that. Cancel that out. Put on your life noise cancellation headphones.
Mm.
Yeah. and block all of that outside noise out, because usually those people don't have your best interest in mind, or either they're trying to put you in a position or a place to where you doubt yourself and you settle down so that they can thrive off of your downfall.
Mm.
So the outside noise, like, don't even pay attention to it. And then secondly of my second part is to stop beating yourself up when you think that you have picked the right thing for you and it turned out to not be the right thing, or it doesn't work out for you. Stop beating yourself up. I know I've said this before, and I say this often, like, it's cool to have like a little pity party, and it's cool to kind of take that moment in. But don't beat yourself up so much that you beat yourself out of moving forward.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
That was profound.
So stop beating yourself up. You know, have your little moment, and whatever happened, take it in and do what you need to get over it. But then put yourself right back in the position that you were in to keep moving forward. So those are the two additional things. I guess my number two would be to just block out that outside noise and don't beat yourself up so much when the thing that you thought was right for you at that moment doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, don't like completely throw it away either, because it might come back later on and it might be something that you can use, or it might be something that at that time in your life wasn't right for you then. But it's definitely something that you needed in your life. So,
ooh, great.
Yeah. So that's my second one. So I'm going to pass it off to you. The mic is hot.
Oh, hey. I'm all about that, though. The second, I mean, yeah. We've been through that together, where we've either created something or done something, and at that point, it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And to throw it out and just say, we've had to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, to me, that's even more of a definition of failure than just not succeeding at something is
right.
That you actually created it. You didn't think you needed it. You threw it out. And it turns out 6 months later, you needed it.
Yep.
And that's, we've had a couple of those, and we're learning from that for
definitely
sure.
Definitely learning from that. And that's why I wanted to share that with everyone that's listening, so that you won't fall victim to the same thing that we have, something that we created and it was not right for us at that time. And we were like, all right, cool. And then I hit delete and it's gone. And then 6 months down the line, we're like, oh, man, this would be awesome. And then I'm looking at her and I'm like, didn't we already do this? Mm. And she's like, where is it? Where did you save it? And I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah. In the frustrated moment of that time that it didn't work out, I just deleted it because I didn't feel like it was right for us.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we got to recreate the whole thing all over again. So now we save everything.
Everything.
We save everything.
Everything. My second tip for people who maybe, you know, you want to focus more on excellence and it's just not your strong suit is to do the most difficult things in your day first. And that's really because we are, like humans, we are more productive in the beginning, like right after we wake up in the beginning of our day. And so I just encourage you to do that. So for instance, if you go to work and you typically have a job where you're checking emails throughout the day and you're doing projects throughout the day, I challenge you, instead of coming in and checking your email in the beginning of your day, to start your hardest project, because your brain is going to be most fresh then. So I challenge you to do that. And it's even like on Saturdays when I have to clean at home, I start off. Actually, we both start off Saturdays this way. Daryl goes outside to do yard work and I stay in and I clean and I just get it all done so that I can move on to what in my perception are less hard things to do, just because I hate cleaning, but I love it at the same time. So you know how it goes. So those were my two tips, and those, you gave great tips as well. So then the last tips I want to get into are, if perfection is something that you strive for daily, and it may be just perfectionism on a small level, it could also be perfectionism where you actually feel debilitating anxiety over it because you're not being perfect and you can't be. But if you experience this, what are some tips that we have in order to relax a little bit more?
Right. So when you say or hear the word perfection or perfectionism, for me, I'm not going to speak for everybody or for April, but for me, it's associated with accomplishments. Mm. It's associated with success. So one of the things that I constantly tell people all the time, and matter of fact, I just had this conversation with someone yesterday about some workout regimens that they've had, and they were talking about what was working and what wasn't working. And they were talking about changing certain diets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And by no means am I qualified to talk about that. But the thing that I could tell them is, whatever your process was or whatever you have in place, give it time.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not working out for you and you've only been doing it for 3 weeks, you know, realistically, that's not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Give it time. So understanding that achieving, being successful, it takes time. And you can't do it all, you know, at one time. It's going to take time. So keep striving, keep pushing, and don't get stuck on how long it's taking you.
Mm-hmm.
Because life will intervene. And sometimes life messes up what your time trajectory was for whatever it is that you're working on.
Very
and then
true.
If you throw in perfectionism with it and you're fighting against time and you're trying to please other people at the same time, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. So making sure that you understand that success takes time, accomplishments take time. And when you're striving for perfectionism in an area or you're working towards excellence, to give it the adequate amount of time that you need so that you are successful, and don't give up too quick and don't change your plan so quick. Mm-hmm. You can reevaluate and make adjustments, but to completely change your plan, you know, sometimes without giving it enough time is a bad idea from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Good. So my tips, is that all your tips or do you want me to do one?
You want to go back and
forth? We can go back and forth, yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay, so one of my tips is to, if you just need to relax more and you're focused too much on being perfect, I think that you should try to focus less on details and more on what it is that you enjoy about the process. And so Daryl was really good about talking about the process. And I think it's true. I mean, we always talk about life is a journey. And it's about the journey. It's not about the end result, because the end result in life is that you're gone.
That's it.
You know? And so you have to step back and really focus on what is it that you enjoy about what you're doing in that moment. And I think when you can really be able to do that and just use some reflection practices to think about what you're enjoying about it instead of feeling anxious that you may not do it perfectly, then you'll be able to relax a little bit more. Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your next tip?
My next one is realizing and understanding and coming to the acceptance that it takes working with other people. Mm. So when you're talking about perfectionism, usually it's something that you're chasing independently. Or if you're chasing it with a group, it's usually with that specific group. And sometimes it's tough going outside because you feel like that level of comfort is already there. And especially if it's with yourself or with your group. So to go outside of that, like, you have the comfort level and then you have to the bringing up to speed that you have to worry about. But you have to understand that it's going to take other people. You can't do it all by yourself and you can't do it alone. And that's one of the things that you hear me talk about all the time, managing relationships and finding out how people can help you reach your goals, become successful at whatever it is that you're chasing. And then an example of that for me is that I know that we've talked a little bit about me playing football at FSU. And when I finally did make the transition and I was able to practice and I was able to actually be a part of the team after that long journey. Once I got out there, I felt like I was already so far behind and I felt like I had so much to catch up on. And my initial attitude was, bump this, like, I got to prove myself and I'm going to go out here and figure everything else out by myself. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I kind of isolated myself from everybody else who was there who could have helped me do it at a lot quicker pace. And one person specifically, and I actually just talked to him not long ago and told him that I definitely was going to be mentioning him by name, and he gave me the approval. So one of probably the most influential and one of the probably best people that I have ever met, Atrus Bell, he actually took me under his wings. And what's so crazy is he didn't have to do that because we were in the same position. And obviously I was competing and I was trying to figure out everything on my own to at least make myself stand out and be in a position to where I could at least earn some type of playing time or something, because I was behind a lot of great receivers. But he took it upon himself and didn't find it like fault to try to teach me and give me as much knowledge as he had without me even asking him that. So he saw me out there struggling and trying to figure it out by myself. And he like took me in and was like, all right, hey, check this. This is what you got to do. This is how you run that route. This is where you go. And what's so crazy is that I didn't even have a clear understanding of the playbook. So the coaches would call the play and Truce would pull me over and he would just straight up tell me, run, this is the route that you're going to run. And once you get out there and line up, this is who you're going to look for. And if it's a choice route, this is what's going to determine that. And every time they would call a play, he would pull me over and put his arm around me and pull my helmet to him. And he would straight up just tell me, like, this is what you're going to do.
Wow.
And I was like, this is crazy. Like, he don't have to do this. Mm-mm. Why is he even doing this? I didn't ask him to do this because I'm going to figure this out myself. Mm-hmm. And from that moment moving forward, I was like, dang, like, this one is a good dude and a good person just in general. And two, that it's going to take people mm-hmm. to help you try to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Because my whole objective was to put myself in the best position to get enough attention to where the coaches realized that maybe I could be considered to play.
Wow.
Yeah. So I reached out to him and I told him, I was like, hey, man, I'm going to, you know, share the example of how you helped me out and what you did. And he gave me the thumbs up and was like, oh, no problem, brother. And I was like, dang, it's still the same truth. Like, aww. No matter what. This dude is a good dude and
hasn't changed
at all. And his motive is and has always been to help people. And I really appreciate him for that. So if you're listening to this, Truce, shout out to you. I appreciate you. And anybody else, if you know him, tell him that I talked about him and give him a little shout out too.
Fun. So I have another tip just to help relax if you tend to be more of a perfectionist, and that is to not let perfectionism be an excuse for procrastination. And this has been a downfall for me particularly, because I will see a project that I know needs done, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I have the resources to do it so that it's perfect, or I don't know if I have the knowledge to do it so it's perfect. So instead of jumping in and starting the project so that it will get done, because nothing ever gets done unless you actually start it and then finish it. Mm-hmm. But instead of that, I would just procrastinate. I'd be like, well, I'll just wait to do this. I'll wait until it's due, or until we need to have it out into the world. And that's really been a downfall for me. So I would say definitely don't let perfectionism be an excuse for you to procrastinate is one of my tips. Do you have another tip?
Oh, yeah. All right. So it is good sometimes to just zoom out. Hold on. Let me clear my throat and say this again. It is good sometimes to just zoom out and get the full picture. Mm-hmm. When you set goals and you're trying to achieve and accomplish things, you usually take your zoom and you focus all the way in on that specific task, and you lose sight of everything that's going around you. And it puts you in a place of not knowing what's going on, and you miss some opportunities that may be able to help you get to that a lot quicker or easier. And sometimes it's good to just take a step back and zoom all the way out and observe the big picture and everything that's going on around you, and seeing how you could take little pieces from what you're seeing and help you get to that place. And when you do that, it also may help you refocus on something that you were missing when you thought your objective or your goal was straight ahead in front of you. You might have needed to take it and move it to the right just a little bit and then resume or refocus. So take time to make sure that you zoom out sometimes and take in the full picture, and make sure that it's clear and is what you're working towards, and it helps a lot. I think that definitely is a tip. You know, we're talking about perfectionism and excellence. It is to kind of zoom out and get the full perspective. It definitely helps. I know it does for me, but that's definitely a tip that I would like to share.
That's good. My last tip on this is just tips to relax if you're looking towards perfectionism. It's the same one that Daryl said for tips to focus if you're trying to focus on being excellent a little bit more than you are now. So mine is, don't let the haters get to you. And by that, I mean, if you're striving for perfection, it's okay to strive for perfection for yourself, okay? If you're striving for perfection based on what you think others think of you, that's not okay. Because here's the thing, is you are going to live your life and you are going to reap the consequences of whatever you decide to do and however you decide to do it, good or bad. Those people are not living your life. They don't have to reap the consequences or the benefits and rewards of what you're doing. And so when you let the haters get to you and you're just focused on perfectionism for other people, that is going to be a detriment to you every single time, every time.
Ooh, can I say one more?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So when you're talking about being perfect and perfectionism and chasing that, and my analogy is this. I'll give an analogy first, and then I'll talk about actually what I want to talk about. So if you're playing basketball, if basketball is your sport, and you're shooting 10 basketballs from any place on the court, and you shoot all 10 and you go 10 for 10 in that shooting, you were perfect. You took 10. What was I about to cuss? you took 10 shots and you made 10 shots. My words got caught up and I was like, oh, I almost just said a bad word. No, but you took 10 shots and you made 10 shots, and that is perfect. And what that is symbolic of is an end. Like, you had 10 basketballs, you took 10 shots, you made 10 shots, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, if you would have took 10 shots and you'd have only made 7 or 8, you could have kept striving for 10. Mm. But when you make 10 and you reach that state of perfection, then you're in a place of stagnant. Mm. So it's like, what's next? There's no more room for growth in that moment. Like, I shot 10 shots, I made 10 shots. that's perfect. So now
what's
what?
Next?
Yeah. So you always have to remember that when you're striving for whatever perfection may be to you and you get to that point, I mean, you can't just sit back and be like, I made 10 shots and go get a T-shirt that said I made 10 out of 10, you know, and then take a picture on Instagram that say I made 10 out of 10. And then after that, it's like, OK, good for you. Like you made 10 out of 10. So like go do something else with your life.
Yeah.
Well, you need to tell yourself that first.
Yeah.
So like, all right, I reached this point and what perfection is to me for this particular point. I've reached it. So now what's next? Where is there room for growth? What's my next adventure? Making sure that you remember to do that and you take that into consideration if you are striving for perfection. For me, I'm like 10 out of 10. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I got that. I wonder, can I make 15 out of 15? And then if I hit that, I'm like, cool. All right, I wonder, can I make 20 for 20? All right, cool. I wonder, can I take 3 steps back and hit 10 for 10? You know what I mean? So it's constantly continuing to build and grow. And if it is a point of perfection that you're striving for, what's next? How can you improve? How can you get better? And how can you continue to move forward? And I think that's very important when you're talking about perfection, you're talking about progression. It's understanding that once you get to that place, like there is no such thing as perfection because it's like, all right, cool, you did that. That's just one part or that's one portion. Like, can you do this? What's next? Can you grow? Can you continue to move forward? So I wanted to share that because that did pop up into my mind when you're talking about perfection and when you're talking about reaching that place, continuing to always move forward, continuing to always grow and to continue to always do better for you is probably one of the most important things, if at all, that I would share and would tell you to do.
Wow. Well, you just wrapped that up really well.
Did I?
Yeah, I think you did. You did great.
My intent wasn't to wrap it up.
Well, you did great. And I think we're at that time.
Okay.
So
what you're saying was that was a perfect ending.
That was the perfect ending. Yeah.
Nope. Let me tell you why it wasn't the perfect ending. Because we kept talking.
We did keep talking. That's true.
But we can't go back and cut it off, though.
No, we're not going to do that.
If we do that, they won't even hear this.
No, come on. All right. Anyway, so we're gonna let you guys hear all this because we're not perfect. But we do have a perfect ending. And it is coming right after we tell you, just to make sure that you are checking us out on every platform. We have tried to be on absolutely every podcast platform that we can possibly be on. So if there is one that you listen to and you're like, I don't see you on there, please let us know because we want to be on there too. In the meantime, go to iTunes for those of you who are Apple iTunes users. And we've said it before, I'll say it again, iTunes is all that is good and holy in the podcast world. So please leave us your ratings and reviews because that way we will have more of a chance of other people seeing us and listening and impacting more people, which is always our goal.
That's right.
Yes. So in the meantime, we love you guys for joining us. Thank you. And we'll talk to you again next week.
That's right. We're out.
Hey, everybody. If you like today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is I am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening. Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.